This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, so any corrupt. Guten Tag, Jawi Viva Katbang, Jai Janendra, Salam, Hafaday, Salam, Shalom, Peace, Peace Now, Go Vegan, Peace How, Go Vegan, from the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget vivisection prison. See, I take a week off, and I can't think of what I'm supposed to do, right? So, pharmaceutical vivisection prison, killitary industrial corporation in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA. USA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Yes, I'm back from my annual trip to Southern California for the Natural Products Expo at the Anaheim Convention Center. As you can see, I take a week off, and it's like, well, what do I normally do on Sundays at 5 p.m., huh? Right? Have I done this before? Oh, off for 15 years? Oh, okay. I get it. So, take a week off. I lose track of everything. So, my thanks to Professors Gary Francione and Anna Charlton for hosting the show last week. That program is now archived at goveganradio.com. I'll have to listen to it. And so for 3 days, I got to wander aimlessly through the miles of unending aisles, sampling the latest vegan fare, after which I usually head over to a cool little restaurant nearby called Vegan Pizza, technically in Garden Grove, California, on Chapman at West, for those who are near there and have a hankering for great vegan pizza. Some of the best vegan pizza and Italian food in the world, I think, right there at that little location, a very cool hangout, where I met a number of wonderful people, including my upcoming guest on today's show, Jeff Palmer of Clean Machine, whose product ingredient came in first place at this year's Natural Products Expo, up against over 10,000 others. Ooh, sounds interesting. We will discuss that. Very cool. Very cool people hanging out at Vegan Pizza Restaurant in Garden Grove. I think that's one of the main reasons I go to the Natural Product Expo. But and leave it to vegans to work up an appetite by sampling vegan foods all day. But, you know, it is a lot of work. You know, it's kind of a workout. It's a lot of walking and heavy lifting. You know, all those bags of samples that we're carrying and for me, twice the weightlifting, because I always have Daisy, my vegan Chihuahua love, under my arm, who was quite partial to a number of coconut snacks sampled last weekend. I finally had a chance to sample the new vegan egg from Follow Your Heart, the wonderful 100% vegan company, whom I love dearly. The vegan egg, huh? Delicioso! I had vegan egg scrambled, and I had it in a souffle, and it is quite amazing. We can thank Follow Your Heart for giving us the most delicious vegan versions of many of our comfort foods of the past that were far from vegan. Veggienese, the best alternative on the market to mayonnaise. Well, it is the vegan mayonnaise, basically, which actually beat Hellman's or, what is it, Best Western? I forgot what it is in the West. Back when I lived in New York, it was Hellman's, but has a different name, and I haven't really looked at it in years. Who cares, right? But I think it's Best Western. Veggienese beat Hellman's, or Best Western, in taste tests, and Veggienese just makes everything taste great. Really, I put it on anything. Delicious. Actually, my friend Kenneth G. Williams, the champion vegan bodybuilder, always credits Veggienese for being the catalyst that allowed him to go vegan. You know, back when he first tried it, he said, okay, I can go vegan now. Now that there's Veggienese, I can go vegan. And I think a lot of people feel that way about a lot of Follow Your Heart products, and I'm so thankful to Follow Your Heart for what it does. People do have those strong connections to foods, you know, or the condiments like mayonnaise. And I myself have always been big on cream cheese. And for me, the Follow Your Heart vegan cream cheese it's the best. I love it. And the cheese slices now from Follow Your Heart are really quite remarkable. By the way, you will be able to sample delicious Follow Your Heart products at the World Vegan Summit and Expo July 29th, 30th, and 31st on the campus of the University of California in Berkeley. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. So let's see, what else did I like at the Natural Products Expo? Daiya was famous for its cheese, very delicious cheese that melts, makes pizza delicious. Daiya has come out with a variety of vegan salad dressings now, ranch, blue cheese, and my favorite was Caesar. Not just because it reminds me of the great vegan Caesar cheese, but because it's quite delicious, actually. I really like the new hemp burger from Tofurky. And I'm so glad to see that Tofurky has dumped the logo of the Humane Society of the United States from its packaging. You know, I'm sure initially, and gosh, it was terrible because I just love the people at Tofurky, but you know our relationship got a little strained as a result of HSUS being on the packaging. I mean, I'm sure you know it was good intentions. The intentions were good right there. I mean, and most people just don't realize that HSUS is an integral part of the meat, dairy, and egg industries, a rancher advocacy group, and the public relations firm of choice for the most egregious animal exploitation industries. Through a total misunderstanding, I'm sure, of the situation, it was quite ironic to see support for the Humane Society of the United States on packaging for the number one vegan alternative to turkeys, you know, Tofurky, like Seth Tibbin, you know, a turkey's best friend. And then you look at the packaging and you go, oh, The Humane Society of the United States. Must be good. I'll go to its website. And then you go to the HSUS website where it was selling us humane turkeys for Thanksgiving. No thanks. So there are no zero, zilch, meat, dairy, egg, or fish products that are humane. They just don't exist. No products derived from animals or their secretions are humane. It's just more deceptive animal exploitation, industry marketing ploys, basically, from the Humane Society of the United States, the experts in animal betrayal. And I'm just wondering, you know, when are people going to get this through their heads? I've been saying it for years. It's a corporation that has, you know, a pig farmer for a vice president, Michael Vick as its spokesperson, bacon coupon giveaways, partnerships with United Egg Producers. I mean, what does the Humane Society of the United States have to do before brainwashed animal advocates recognize what it is? You know, does it have to have a partnership with SeaWorld or something? Is that what it would take? Well, believe it or not, there is now that, too. Maybe we can get into that a little later in the show, if there's time. If not, we'll look at it next week. But, you know, right now, I don't want my blood to start boiling. I had the week off, you know, away from the trials and tribulations. I think I should just chill, you know, cool it. By remembering that there was some amazing vegan ice cream at the Natural Products Expo. I mean, you have to check out this brand called Nada Moo. N-A-D-A, Moo, as in, you know, no Moo. Forget about being excited by a few vegan flavors from serial rapist and mass killer of cows, Ben & Jerry's, a subsidiary of mega corporation Unilever. Why would vegans be excited about giving their money to Ben & Jerry's when there are great vegan ice cream companies like Nada Moo? You know, and I think I should try to turn Bernie Sanders onto Nada Moo and ask him to sever his relationship with Ben & Jerry's, which... What? Is it time for a break already? I'm just getting started. I lose my concept of time. I'm gone a week. Okay. Well, we'll continue. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Jeff Palmer coming up later in the show, founder and CEO of Clean Machine, with that product that beat out 10,000 others. And Professor Gary Francione and Anna Charlton coming up also on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Radio with Bob Linden, grooving on a Sunday afternoon. We groove every Sunday afternoon, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time, syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. That's when we are live. And I'm trying to get back in the groove. I took last week off, and you know, I come back, and it's like, what am I doing? What goes where? What's this? What is this? Oh, this is a microphone. Ah, okay, I get it. So anyway, our website is goveganradio.com, Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And please register for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, the most important event in the history of the universe, coming up July 29th through the 31st on the campus of UC Berkeley. And prior to the break, I was talking about my adventures at the Natural Products Expo. That's why I was off last week. And one of my favorite weekends of the year because I get to sample all the new vegan fare. As I was saying before the break, and I just don't understand when there are so many great vegan ice creams, why vegans would patronize Ben and Jerry's and give their money to a serial mass rapist and killer of cows. In particular, I mean, I said I really enjoyed this ice cream from a company called Nada Moo. And so I was saying, what I also want to try to do is turn Bernie Sanders onto Nada Moo and ask him to sever his relationship with Ben and Jerry's, which named a flavor for him. You know, that is, if Bernie is really serious about climate change, that is, if Bernie is really serious about our national health, I mean, he's got to dump the dairy. He's got to be educated. If, you know, there is to be a revolution, Bernie, the main part of it is that it has to be a vegan revolution. And a tour of the Natural Products Expo would be an indication that it is ready to happen. The vegan revolution. So many exhibitors there proudly displaying the word vegan on their banners and signs and labels. The revolution that we want. You know, everybody's clamoring. Everybody's clamoring for change. Everybody doesn't seem to know that the revolution that we want is a food revolution, which is a vegan food revolution, the cure for everything that ails us, climate change, hunger, poverty, disease, resource depletion, deforestation, war, animal torture and massacre, and so much more, is our food choices. That's the cure. All of our food choices must be vegan. Not eating less meat, not meatless Monday. The cure is choosing only vegan food, I'm reminded some years back I injured my hand and I had to go to the hospital and the nurse there was taking my numbers, and blood pressure, blood sugar and all of that, and he said, man, I wish I had your numbers. And I said, well, you can. You just go vegan. And he said, what? And give up my meat? And, you know, the way it is with everyone, we're all concerned with climate change. We want to stop climate change. But what? Give up my meat, dairy, fish, and eggs? Now we're asking a lot, right? To save life on Earth. Right? But that's the way it is. The cure is going vegan, which you certainly wouldn't understand if you are a follower of the bogus animal rights movement that is center stage, really. And as I mentioned, groups like the Humane Society of the United States and Farm and Farm Sanctuary and Mercy for Animals, all immorally off course, off point. Taking us really nowhere. So the bridge to nowhere, the current bogus animal rights movement. And time is flying today. I forget how fast time flies when I'm on the air. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. You can find donate at goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. on Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio. Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. A couple of extraneous Bob Linden pages, usually maxed out at about 5,000 each to make sure I do everything in triplicate. And also, please register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up in July. That's worldvegansummit.com, where we will really address all the concerns that we face as a society, which, I watch the debates. I watch Bernie and Hillary and, everybody's against climate change, right? And everybody, feels like he or she knows, blame those fossil fuel companies, right? And that's all you seem to hear from everywhere, from Bill Maher, from Democracy Now!, but not a word of the reality that we have to go vegan, which I guess that's why there's this radio program. But you would think you would get that from the supposed animal advocacy groups, but we don't, like the Humane Society of the United States, Farm Sanctuary, Mercy for Animals. No, they don't. And why? I guess it's that, they're in their own greedy, opportunistic self-interest pursuits. Selling out has its awards in the millions of dollars, actually, sometimes. So in the midst of my financially challenged world, I sometimes think, if you can't beat them, join them. Also, sometimes I think, I don't know, why don't I develop some nice food product, just live in that happy world, maybe exhibit it at the Natural Products Expo, and stop being so concerned with all these sad and angry issues of life and death. But what kind of product could I develop? As I said, coming up in just a little bit, my guest today, Jeff Palmer, has a number one product up against 10,000. But then what's left for me that hasn't been considered or developed? But I look at the latest development from Mercy for Animals, supposedly one of the world's leading animal advocates. Certainly, they're featured prominently at Farms, so-called animal rights conference. MFA just created the Good Food Institute, or GFI, or as I like to call it, Goofy. Now, I talked about it extensively on the show a couple of weeks ago. Goofy is developing cultured meat, dairy, and egg products. Products that aren't from animals, that are from animals. Brilliant. What's truly amazing is that now Mercy for Animals, with people like Bruce Friedrich in executive positions at the Good Food Institute, is telling us that meat is good food. That seems goofy. Maybe that's why it's not called the Great Food Institute. So now, according to MFA, meat is good food. In its opportunistic, greedy approach, it's telling us that meat isn't from animals, but actually, it is from animals. Is that the good meat? Anyway, if you listen to this show from a couple of weeks ago, I played clips from Goofy's biotech partners, and in the fine print, we learned that this good meat, the good meat, dairy, and eggs, are derived from animal cells, that there will have to be animal farms, that the animals will have to be under anesthesia when cells are removed. So we'll have to have the same conditions as exists now in bad meat. Rape of the animals to produce offspring, confinement, mutilation, killing. And I think that I have come up with a solution. I don't want these animals to suffer and die. And so I propose, I bet I come in at number one at the Natural Products Expo next year. I am now proposing the meat that can't be beat, made from me. Yes, me. I volunteer my own personal cells. eat me instead of animals. How can you oppose this? It's still meat from animals. Oh, shouldn't talk show hosts turn off their cell phones before doing a show? Shouldn't they find the cell phone somewhere? Anyway, it's here somewhere. Anyway, so what I'm suggesting is that, yes, eat me instead of animals. You can't oppose this. It's still meat from animals that isn't from animals, except I am the animal. It makes perfect sense. You can't beat my meat. It would be from a human animal, less likely to be rejected by your body as a foreign substance. Bobby meat. Eat me. At least you know whom you are eating. You don't know the cows or pigs or chickens who are the source of goofy meat from Mercy for Animals. You don't know where they've been or what they've eaten. Eat me instead. It's the meat you can't beat. Bobby meat. Eat my burger. Eat my wiener. 100% vegan animal meat. I can probably be labeled organic animal vegan meat, considering the amount of organic food that I eat. I bet I'll be delicious. Also, enjoy me for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I'm high protein with just enough fat for the flavor you will savor. Eat me. I'm perfect for the family barbecue. Vegan pizza-fed meat. Kosher and halal. Bobby meat. And also, forget Trump steaks. They don't even have a hair from Donald Trump's head. Look for me at Whole Foods, Safeway, Kroger, and self-farmers markets everywhere. Have I lost my mind? Well, but doesn't that all really sound appetizing? Doesn't it? I mean, I bet I can get a grant from Goofy to develop my meat. Don't you think? Okay. All right. Well, that's going to be my entry to, you know, going up against all the products next year at the Natural Products Expo. Look for me. Let's see who won this year. So, Jeff Palmer is the founder and CEO of Clean Machine. We met at Vegan Pizza. Where else? We were there, and I think he was celebrating his victory. He won the Nexty Editor's Choice Award for Best Ingredient. And as I said, he was up against over 10,000 others. This must be amazing. Jeff Palmer, how are you?
Good. It's great to hear from you again.
Well, it's great to be back with you. It was very nice to meet you there at Vegan Pizza. And congratulations on your recognition. Now I'm sure everybody is interested. What is the ingredient? What is the product?
Yeah, an amazing company called Nature's Crops International has been developing this plant for over 6 years, doing the research, doing selective breeding to make it one of the most amazingly healthful plants ever produced, grown in the UK. Incredible job, and I'm so blessed to partner with a company with such high integrity. When I first heard about this, I was reading the preliminary research on it, and it just blew my mind. Ahi flower is a plant that, like its name, has a flower, a very pretty little flower, white flower, that yields a seed, and much like flax seed, that seed is pressed into an oil and yields the most highest quantities of an ingredient called SDA, stearidonic acid, and it's a direct precursor to EPA, which is one of the two main omega-3 fatty acids, which is predominantly used for heart health. So incredible healthful plant, and it's just published study showed it was 400% more effective at increasing EPA than flax, the number one selling herb in the United States. So just incredible.
So your product is 400% more effective than the number one product out there now. I mean, I guess when people think about, you know, these are essential fatty acids we're talking about here, and people are interested in them, and a lot of people unfortunately go to fish oil for that, but the vegan choice seems to be flax, and you come along with ahi flour.
Yes, it's not too often that something is four times more effective than the number one selling herb in the entire United States. I mean, that's a big deal.
It really is. I mean, I expect orders will be pouring in, and you'll be calling us from your private jet shortly here. Your private solar jet, I mean, of course.
Yeah, well, my real focus, when I met you, I was actually, last week, I was celebrating not just the award, but my 31st vegan anniversary. So, quite an honor that, you know, I've been vegan for 31 years, and it's been a passion of mine to try to find products that people could replace animal products with. When I read the latest report from the WWF that almost 50% of all marine fish in the entire ocean have been killed off already, and 76% of the entire freshwater wildlife is gone in just the last 40 years. I mean, that's not sustainable, and we need a plant-based source of essential fatty acids. We cannot continue to do this.
Now, why are people so interested in essential fatty acids? What's all that about?
Absolutely. Well, there are nutrients that are what they call essential for life. Essential fatty acids are one of those. Essential amino acids that we get from proteins or another. These are things that our body cannot produce on its own. We have to get them from food intake.
Jeff, I'm sorry. We need to take a break, and we'll continue our discussion. We will continue with Jeff Palmer. He is the founder and CEO of Clean Machine Natural Sports Nutrition. We will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. With Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and don't forget to register for the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up in July in Berkeley, worldvegansummit.com, and also at goveganradio.com, you can support our efforts, the radio show, and organizing events with a tax-deductible donation. Find the donate button there. We're talking today to Jeff Palmer. He's the CEO of Clean Machine. That's cleanmachineonline.com. And I ran into Jeff last week. We were both at the Natural Products Expo in Anaheim. Then we were both at Vegan Pizza in Garden Grove nearby. And Jeff, you were saying you were celebrating your 31st year as a vegan-versary, and I got you by 1 year, so and we're both on the same mission to move people away from animal products, and so this is, you know, your interest. Jeff won, amazingly, the NEXTY Editor's Choice Award for Best Ingredient, and he beat out 10,000 other entries with ahi flour, which is four times more effective than flax. People go to flax for essential fatty acids. And you were beginning to explain what's so essential about essential fatty acids.
Yeah, so there's been a pretty interesting study. The data from the National Health and Nutritional Examination Survey They indicated that 95.7% of Americans are below or suboptimal in their omega-3. So it's pretty widespread that, you know, we're eating a lot of fried foods and things high in omega-6s, and our omega-6s are way out of balance to our omega-3s, which can actually even downgrade the ability for the body to process omega-3s. So, you know, ahi flour comes along with this near-perfect ratio that most nutritionists suggest at a 4-to-1 ratio of omega-3 to omega-6. So it's anti-inflammatory properties, health benefit properties, and of course the ALA then converts to DHA, so it's both a DHA and EPA supportive ingredient. Just amazing.
And health benefits to these are?
Yeah, so the ALA converting to DHA is for brain. Much of your brain is made up of fat. So if somebody calls you a fathead, that's actually a big compliment. And these fats surround all the nerves in our body. So they're called myelin sheath. I won't get too much into the science, but they're important for all nerves in our body to function correctly. They keep the signals moving along the pathway. So it's very important for brain health, but EPA also very important for heart health. Now, Clean Machine is a sports nutrition company, so you say, why this one? Other than being a vegan, natural sports nutrition company, we're also interested in helping people build muscle, too. So fitness is an integral part of your total health. EPA is shown to increase muscle protein synthesis by 25%, while decreasing muscle loss by 22%, effectively both helping you to gain muscle and keep it. So that's very important for many athletes. Especially vegan and vegetarian athletes who have a hard time getting a good source of EPA in their diet.
Well, that's great. And as we said, unfortunately, people go to fish oil for this, and really the fish only have it really because they've been eating algae, or, you know, it's like we're trying to eliminate the middle fish here, and the oceans have been depleted, and so their depleted fish oils are used to feed farmed fish, and people take it as a supplement, and the oceans are depleted. We just can't use fish oil. It just doesn't make any sense. Plus, I guess there are negative factors associated with fish oil, which could include heavy metals and other unhealthy elements.
Yeah, to go further on this stat, the 29% of edible fish, the ones that most consumers consume, the popular ones, those species have declined by 90% in the ocean. They got so low. The most popular source of fish oil is sardines, and the sardine population off of Peru got so low they actually halted fishing production altogether.
Jeff Palmer, another break. We'll continue our discussion on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and today we're talking to Jeff Palmer. He's the founder and CEO of Clean Machine, natural sports nutrition. We met up last week, and we celebrated having pizza, celebrated his 31 years as being a vegan, and also getting the NEXTY Editor's Choice Award for Best Ingredient, ahi flour, which is related to essential fatty acids. We were talking before the break about the depletion of sea life in favor of people making the wrong choice and going for essential fatty acids through the source of sea animals and fish, and I just noticed that there's been an agreement, a partnership now between Wayne Pacelli and the Humane Society of the United States and SeaWorld. I think SeaWorld will now be called Wayne's World, but they're also promising to sell sustainable fish. And Jeff, I don't think that there are sustainable fish, you know, to be sold, to be eaten at this point, as you were starting to say, especially related to, it was sardines who were a major source of the fish oil that people buy for essential fatty acids?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's like humane meat. It's such an oxymoron. There's no such thing. If anybody understands the brutality, I mean, even the silly idea of free-range chickens. I mean, if you saw what they can legally call free-range, where the tens of thousands of birds are lumped together freely, but almost standing on top of each other in giant dens just because they're not in cages, does not make it a better option. It's whitewashing, and I really don't like seeing the industry do such things like that. Cruelty is cruelty, and eating these animals is not good for us. It's not sustainable for the planet, and it's not.
And fish feel pain and want to live too. So it's cruelty to them. Fish oil, eating fish. I mean, it's all the same as eating, you know, cows, pigs, and chickens, and dogs, and dolphins. I mean, it's just all wrong. So and the oceans are depleted. Aquatic life is diminished. And you were telling us about sardines, right? Was that part of it?
Yeah, so sardines are one of the top fat and anchovies, are top fishes that are used because they're very oily. So they get a high yield of oil out of the fish. But ahi flour, just ahi flour grown at the same level, can yield the same amount of oil as 80,000 sardines. That's incredible that we would trade that much life for something that we can get sustainably through a plant.
So you're saying how much ahi flour? I mean, I don't understand. So you said 80,000 sardines equals how much ahi flour, or is it acreage?
Yeah, so
or
what? Just one acre of ahi flour can yield as much oil as 80,000 sardines.
Wow, so 1 acre saves 80,000 lives like that. Now, how is this product available, the ahi flour? How are you providing it to people?
So you can get it directly through us at cleanmachineonline.com or any of our vendor partners like veganessentials.com, veganproteins.com, many of our other partners that are selling it in retail.
Mm-hmm. And again, I want to mention, because it is so amazing when you can have an entry that beats out 10,000 others. You know, you won the Nexty Editor's Choice Award for Best Ingredient, ahi flour being important because, wow, it's 4 times more effective than flax, the number one vegan choice for essential fatty acids, right?
It beat chia, it beat hemp, it beat fetch engi, it beat every other single plant, non-GMO plant on the planet.
How did you find it, and how has it been such a secret? Like, I've never heard of ahi flour until I met you at Vegan Pizza last week.
Yeah, I hate that it's been a good kept secret. Nature's Crops International, I met Greg Cumberford, who was the guy that told me about the research at a trade show, and I was just like, wow, this needs to get out to vegans. This is a huge benefit to vegans and vegetarians, but also for omnivores to be able to switch over to something that is truly sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to move away from that fish oil. So, so you said that you went vegan 31 years ago. What prompted that?
Yeah, which is a strange story because 31 years ago, there really wasn't vegan, you know, books out. There are a lot of them. There wasn't movies that are out now. I love all the resources that are available today. There really wasn't.
I don't think we knew the word vegan then. As I said, I went vegan 32 years ago. I didn't know that I was a vegan. I don't know that I knew the word then even.
I was calling myself a strict vegetarian because I didn't know the word either. Somebody told me. They said, oh, by the way, you're vegan. I'm like, cool, there's a word for it.
Right. I think I saw it in print once, and I thought, what is it, like vegan? Or like, I didn't even know how to pronounce it when I first saw it in print. You know, it's like, what is this word? And I am one of them.
I had a personal experience of someone who helped me move through a lot of pain in my life, emotional pain. I felt so relieved and so thankful. I just sat on the couch all night long meditating of how I could give back and create less suffering in the world. And in my meditation, I just came to stop harming animals. So I stopped eating meat and dairy and eggs all the next day. It's just that simple. It was coming from a place of gratefulness to having pain removed from my life. I wanted to give back and reduce pain that I was contributing to in other lives.
Well, there you go. And that's really so profound because really, I mean, people don't realize it, but anyone who eats meat, dairy, fish, and eggs is causing immense suffering. I mean, there's enough misery in the world already. Why should we contribute to it? I felt the same way. But I didn't know about the dairy and eggs part. So you knew the whole thing right at the same time, the dairy and eggs as well as the flesh.
Yeah, it came to me pretty quickly. Actually, I removed all the flesh first, and then within a month, you know, I started connecting all the dots and saying, wait a minute, if that's the case, then I shouldn't be eating eggs either. Oh, what dairy? That's also contributing to suffering. Within a month, everything fell away, and I was completely vegan.
That's great. And then what's your background in the natural foods industry or sports nutrition?
Yeah, so I've been, you know, when I started reading it, my parents were both academics at the university level. And, you know, science and the human physiology was always fascinating to me. It's quite a miracle what our bodies can do. So I started studying in college and was really looking at, you know, how nutrition is affecting our mood and behavior, and just kept going with that because there wasn't really much in the way of research or education to support a vegan lifestyle. And so I had to do my own self-study. So I worked in the natural products industry while I did my self-study, which I've been doing for over 25 years.
And what else have you done in the industry?
So I you know, I've always been into fitness. I was an AAU swimmer in high school and college, and went on to you know, getting very into fitness and getting the health benefits of fitness. So at the age of 51, I took the stage for the first time as a 29-year vegan and took first place in bodybuilding, in natural bodybuilding. And last year at 52, I took first place in natural physique, all as a vegan, doing it completely natural, no drug.
Oh, terrific. And it seems that you have a team together at Clean Machine who are people into fitness and bodybuilding.
Absolutely. Amazing team of seven athletes, some of them tops in their category. Actually, Jaheena Malik, who was on Dr. Oz a little while back, actually became the very first vegan since birth to step on the Arnold stage. It's the biggest contest for bodybuilders out there. And she did it completely natural as a lifetime vegan, never having eaten animal products in her life. And
wow.
Completely natural, and took the top 15 place, placed in the top 15 out of 50 competitors. Just incredible.
Well, I'm going to have to tell my my good friend Kenneth G. Williams about ahi flour because he, as I understand, is the first vegan to have actually won a bodybuilding competition. So this is something that I have to put you two together. It sounds like your sports nutrition and ahi flour. Kenneth's still competing also, so I have to get you guys together if you don't know each other already.
I did have a chance to meet him once at a trade show. Really nice guy. And I hear he's just now kind of getting back. He kind of fell out of it for a little while, but getting back to bodybuilding and to the sport, too.
Yeah, he's definitely in training and definitely going to be competing. So yeah, and so ahi flour though is beneficial not just to the elite athletes that you talk about, but the regular person on the street.
Yes, absolutely, for heart health. It's one of the most important things to help with heart health and anti-inflammation. Inflammation has been linked to a whole host of nasties, let's just put it that way. So people are looking for ways to improve the inflammation, reduce the inflammation, whether you're into sport or just an average, just any person really can benefit from it.
Okay. Jeff, hang on. We have to take another break. We'll have a couple more minutes left on the other side of the break. We've been talking to Jeff Palmer, CEO of Clean Machine. That's cleanmachineonline.com. Professor Gary Francione coming up in just a little. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And we invite you to join us July 29th, 30th, and 31st on the campus of the University of California in Berkeley for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, a truly amazing event. Go to worldvegansummit.com and register. And I want to thank Dixie May, the beloved Dixie May, for her support, her donations in support of the World Vegan Summit and Expo. I've been talking to Jeff Palmer here today, founder of Clean Machine. And Dixie, now, when Jeff said he's vegan for 31 years, and I go, well, ha-ha, I'm vegan for 32 years. Dixie May is vegan for 57 years. Vegan for 57 years, Dixie May, and she made the donation in loving memory of her husband, Stan May, who died last year at the age of 90. They both dream of a vegan world and want it to happen, and that's why they're supporting the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And I met Jeff last week down in Anaheim. I often take the 101 freeway because I don't like the 5 freeway because of that concentration camp on the side, the stench there of Harris Ranch. I can't believe that there's a restaurant at Harris Ranch. Like, is that appetizing at all? That's when we close the windows and look for the potpourri. And it also gives me an excuse to go to Vegetarian House, one of the top vegan restaurants in the world, 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. Check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. And we've been talking about the evils of eating fish oil and eating fish. Well, actually, one of my favorite choices at Vegetarian House is called the Ocean Basket. And you'll love it. Make family and friends feel guilty about eating fish too, and then take them to vegetarian house and get the ocean basket with the tartar sauce. It's just really quite delicious. And Vegetarian House caters. If you have an event coming up, social event, you're getting married, business event in the Bay Area, check it out. And then check out the menu on the website, the extensive international menu. Also, I think one of the best burgers around, vegetarianhouse.us. So Jeff Palmer, founder and CEO of Clean Machine, that's cleanmachineonline.com, have just a couple of minutes left here. And again, I congratulate you for your recognition last week, the Nexty Editor's Choice Award, Best Ingredient, up against 10,000 other entries. Congratulations again.
Thank you, and it was really a pleasure meeting you and Daisy at Vegan Pizza.
yes, my sweetheart is with me everywhere. She was, the star of the show at the Natural Products Expo. You know, it's like she's the star, and I'm the guy with Daisy, as it should be. And Daisy's been vegan now for a few years too. So we celebrate that. And again, that ingredient is ahi flour, a great source of essential fatty acids. In fact, so great, it's four times greater than what is the number one vegan source now, which is flax. So that's pretty amazing also. But to me, it's like a National Enquirer, story, like, wow, that's pretty amazing, right?
It is. And, you could achieve that, but you would be eating roughly four times as much fat. You know, the cost would be higher. So to use something that is so much more efficient, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to mention about your company or products while we have you here today?
Yeah, that we have a whole line of products, and all of them are third-party certified vegan. So safe for anyone, whether you're vegan or not. They're all natural. They're non-GMO. They're gluten-free. We have a nice lineup of products, and we'll be actually launching a new protein, the first protein ever to be comparable to whey protein and its beneficial effects. Also, it's a super green, too. So an incredible new product and protein we'll be launching this summer. So look at that to replace whey. If I can make a big indent on whey, as big as indent we've made so far on fish oil supplements, it'll be a lot of animals saved. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff Palmer. Look at that. He's taking care of the fish oil, taking care of the whey. Unbelievable. It's cleanmachineonline.com. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and the important website to remember is WorldVeganSummit.com. I think the most important event in the history of the world, coming up July 29th, 30th, and 31st. On the campus of the University of California at Berkeley. And it is so important because we have people like Professor Gary Francione and Professor Anna Charlton there. And thanks for babysitting last week and guest hosting the show. I appreciate that.
It was a little anxiety. Bob, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Yeah, I didn't hear you for a second. I don't know. Yeah, so
it was a little anxiety producing because we didn't know when we couldn't hear the music very well, so we couldn't tell when we were coming in and when we were phasing out. But apart from that, it worked very well, and mm-hmm. I think the folks that we had on stimulated some good conversation, both on the air and off the air. There was quite a bit of talk afterward. But in any event, Anna and I were going to cancel tonight because we were going out to celebrate the SeaWorld announcement that they're going to phase out or they're going to stop breeding orcas. And this is I just can't believe that this is that animal people are celebrating this as some sort of great victory. It's like Ringling Brothers with the elephants, you know, that they're going to phase out the elephant shows. But they're not getting rid of animal shows. They're just going to have more animal shows. They're just going to have different animal shows. That's all.
I'm just kind of becoming aware of that since I was traveling and getting back, and I'm hearing that. But I hear, you know, there are many pro and many con with this now. So like with United Egg Producers, apparently the Humane Society of the United States has entered into a partnership, but now it's with SeaWorld, and was part of the agreement that it's now called Wayne's World.
Well, you know, Bob, I'm stunned in many ways by the things that animal people declare to be victories and the things that people are so gullible, are gullible enough to agree. You know, I mean, the euphoria over this the past few days has just been palpable. And it really is just quite remarkable. And you know, it, as I say, it resonates. It's the same sort of thing with Ringling Brothers and Ringling Brothers brought in camel. You know, they're using camels now. They're phasing out elephants and they're using camels.
Well, they've got to keep SeaWorld open,
right?
With live animals,
right?
They're
right.
Not going. They're not. There's no announcement that they're just going to be showing lovely
right.
films of the ocean.
Right.
They're
exactly.
going to have live animals.
Right.
So the business decision is that the orcas are a liability and everything else is just fine.
Yeah.
This goes on for decades now, though, right? I mean, there's no end in sight. There'll be live animal shows for decades. The orcas will live for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's right. They're not stopping the shows. They're just agreeing, as far as I understand, they're just stopping the breeding of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
or at least they're saying that now, and you know, down the road, you know what I mean. Like, why would we even trust them? You know, we're so quick to trust the animal exploitation industry people, and you know, a few years down the road, they could say, "Hey, look, we were wrong. We have to breed them." Right? I mean, I don't trust them.
Exactly. No, I mean, it really is. It is just so appalling that this is the business of animal ethics. This is the junk that these groups sell, and this is the junk that animal advocates buy, and this is the junk that they pay for. This is the stuff they donate for. It really is just remarkable to me. It is just remarkable to me.
And you know, when I think of it, I mean, there is this great concern about you know, the number of killer whales or orcas in captivity at SeaWorld. But when we think about it, annually there are something like 300,000 whales and dolphins and porpoises who are caught in nets and die. And gosh, wouldn't if we were telling people to go vegan and stop eating fish altogether? Oh, and now also I'm told that SeaWorld is agreeing to sell only sustainable fish or something. Did you see that part?
No, I actually didn't, Bob, because I think it's just a waste of time to even. I mean,
it's not sustainable for the one you're eating.
Exactly.
It doesn't really make much difference, does
exactly.
it?
Well, but there is no sustainable, you know, I mean, there are no sustainable. The oceans are depleted. There is no sustainable. I mean, it's another farce, you know, another marketing ploy from HSUS, which is the PR firm for animal exploitation.
Depressing is that when we think about the progress that we make by doing nonviolent, creative, vegan advocacy, and you know, last week on your show we had Ben Frost and Jenny Trigg, who are two folks who go to Manchester once a month and they set up their stall, and they talk to, you know, 40, 50 people, and they turn them on to veganism. Now, is everybody becoming a vegan? The answer is no, they're not. But if you think about all of the effort, all of the labor, and all of the money that these large organizations spend on this, on these nonsense campaign, and we put that money into vegan advocacy, we would make a difference. It really, you know, it again and again and again we see, and you know, we, Ann and I can't even keep up with the messages and the emails that we get from people who say, you know, I've been a member of this group or that group for decades. Nobody ever challenged me to go vegan. Now I'm vegan. I came to your page, I saw a video or something, and now I've gone vegan. And, you know, vegan advocacy is something that works, and it works very, very well. But we spend our time day in, day out, dealing with these animal people who do nothing but trash veganism and do nothing but promote reducitarianism. I mean, it's appalling, Bob. It's just appalling.
Yeah, but, I know. It is. Really. So, yeah, and again, wouldn't we be saving so many more animals by asking people, you know, don't eat fish, go vegan. You know, don't eat fish or any animals, really. But, I mean, look how many more we could save. You know, black fish, blue fish, green fish, you know.
Vegans don't go to SeaWorld, and they don't go to circuses with animals in. And it's the easiest way to pull the rug out of the whole exploitation culture.
Exactly. When you focus people on the orcas at SeaWorld, their position is, okay, fine. We're really happy that the orcas, but they're going to go back to SeaWorld. People think that this is a great victory. So now they'll keep going to, I mean, time and time again, industry, they must all be laughing at the animal people, at how gullible the animal people are, that it's basically easy to buy them off. You make very simple business decisions, and you keep your animal business going, and the animal people support it.
I know. I see people loving the fact that Ben & Jerry's has a vegan flavor or two or three, and forgetting, you know, the mass killing and rape of cows, you know, as the major part of the business. Now it's, hey, let's go buy ice cream at Ben & Jerry's. You know, it doesn't take much, you know, to, change.
It doesn't take much to buy off animal people. It doesn't take much to buy off the animal movement. That's the message again and again and again and again and again that we see, that they have to do very little to buy off the animal movement and to co-opt the animal movement and get the animal movement to promote animal exploitation. And we see it again and again and again and again and again. And you know, in the 30 some odd years I've been doing this, the number of times I've seen this, I mean, going back to the 1985 amendment to the Animal Welfare Act, when the animal people went crazy, they declared it was a great victory that we were going to get animal care committees, that universities were going to get animal care committees. And I remember saying to people back then, this is a disaster. This will not only not do anything for animals, this will take the steam out of the anti-vivisection movement. That's exactly what happened. They can now point to the animal care committee, and they do this. They do this all the time. They say, oh, well, you know, we have animal care committees just like they have institutional review boards for human experimentation. You know, we're treating humans and non-humans alike. You know, we're experimenting only in situations in which a committee decides that it's appropriate. You know, they leave out the fact that with humans you have to have informed consent, and with animals you can't. And with animals, you're using animals in an instrumental way, in a way in which no humans are used. But you know, hundreds of examples over the years, hundreds of examples of situations in which the animal exploitation industries have bought off animal people with nothing. And because you've got groups like HSUS and Mercy for Animals and Compassion Over Killing and all of these organizations that do nothing but trade away animal interests. They sell out the animals. That's their business.
Hmm. Who made them animal advocates? I mean, they're self-appointed or they're industry-appointed, and why do we believe that HSUS is an animal advocacy group when time after time, you know, it props up even those that, you know, I remember hearing a speech from the chairman of United Egg Producers who said, wow, you know, we were desperate. We didn't know what to do, and HSUS suddenly agrees that enriched cages are acceptable and campaigns for them. And a lot of people feel that SeaWorld stock was down and, you know, it didn't know what it was going to do. And now along comes HSUS and props up SeaWorld.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I hear the music. So we will continue with Professor Gary Francione and Professor Anna Charlton on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and the important website to remember is WorldVeganSummit.com, where we try to make sense of life. I can't follow my life as an animal advocate. I mean, a few weeks ago, I thought that meat was bad, but now Mercy for Animals has an institute called the Good Food Institute, which is promoting meat. And then last week, I went down to Anaheim and for the Natural Products Expo, and at the time, going to SeaWorld was the worst thing an animal advocate could do. And I come back, and now I find that I should be giving tickets away on air. Apparently, I'm losing my mind. I think it's all so goofy to me, Professor Francione, Professor Charlton.
Well, yes, it is, Bob. It's really crazy. They're going to stop, Anna, you were saying they're going to stop the orca shows?
It's my understanding is that they're stopping the orca shows and they are going to be probably expanding the dolphin shows. I mean, this whole fight particularly came centered on their plans to expand SeaWorld, and they were trading their opposition to the ban on orca breeding for their ability to expand the facility. So, you know, it's a good business decision. You know, people are getting uncomfortable with the orca shows, and it's a lot easier to convince visitors to SeaWorld who are not going for education, they're not going to learn about these wonderful sea creatures. They're going for entertainment. They want a show. And we're much more used to seeing dolphins who appeal to us in a different way because they kind of look happier when they're doing their show than orcas do. There's something uncomfortable about seeing an animal the size of an orca in a small exhibit doing a theatrical show. It's harder to convince ourselves that they're having a good time. Mm-hmm. We're used to the happy, laughing dolphin image, aren't we?
Right, yeah. Well, I grew up watching, you know, Flipper, right? Flipper was happy to be performing.
Wants to be with humans, happy to perform, much easier sell to the public. Good trade, as far as I can see.
Mm, amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's appalling. But look, this is why when we have the World Vegan Summit, we need to really focus people on one thing, vegan advocacy. That's the only thing that's going to work. It's the only thing that's going to change anything. As Anna mentioned before, you know, if you're a vegan, you don't go to SeaWorld. You don't go to Ringling Brothers Circus. You don't participate in animal exploitation. So, you know, we don't have to worry about these single-issue campaigns and their inability to do anything, because We don't promote that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, 300,000 whales and dolphins and porpoises every year are killed as bycatch. So, you know, vegans don't eat fish either. Don't, you know, so and half of the catch goes to land animals to feed them. So if we're caring about sea life, you know, we go vegan.
Exactly. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, if you're a vegan, you're not participating in any of this. And that's what we've got to focus people on. And you know, the really sad thing is, as I mentioned before, people really do understand this. When you explain it to people, they really do get it. And if you just, it's mind-boggling if we were to put the resources that we're putting, you know, if all of these groups just had a clear, unequivocal vegan message, we could change the world. That's the thing that's so depressing, is that we really could do something.
But I don't believe that these groups are animal advocates. I believe that they are, you know, part and parcel of the animal exploitation industries. That's right.
But the people who a lot of the folks, you know, we can put in one group the people who run these organizations. But then there are a lot of people out there who really do care about animals. They really do care about animals.
And, absolutely.
And if we, but they don't know how to care about animals because the supposed experts, the self-appointed industry representatives, the people at HSUS, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing, all of these people who are basically partners with animal exploitation and the animal exploitation industry.
Right. All these people who care are being duped. So let's help them. It looks like we're out of time. Wow, time went fast this week. Okay, so thank you, Gary and Anna, and we'll talk again next week. And thanks for listening. And again, register at worldvegansummit.com.